My Eagle enthusiasts, it's Fairway Rollin' presented by FanDuel. Major season is here, and you can get in on all the long drives, big putts, and major moments with FanDuel. Check out live PGA Tour bets like longest drive, round leaders, matchups, birdie or better, and more. Plus, track every shot in the app and watch select par three holes while you place your bets. Download the app today and bet with FanDuel, the official betting operator of the PGA Tour. Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 years old or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Evernorth Health Services. Costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and Evernorth is doing everything in their power to make that possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best. It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that'll benefit your bottom line. It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI. It's possible because they're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
House, we're back. Can you believe
Shaq!
It? What an offseason, huh? How about that wraparound?
Shaq! We're back!
The Shaq House is back. Year three.
The Shaq House is back! We have so much to talk about. So many bets. So many players. All the players are back.
It's golf. They're all back. They're even all seemingly playing well. I can't believe it. But we have to, of course, thank our friends, House, before we get too deep here. Our friends from Callaway Golf, of course. Hey, you know, they introduced Jailbreak technology last year and set a new bar in ball speed and catapulted to the number one driver in Golf House. Number one in golf. How about that? Now, the new Rogue driver, which you're getting your eyeballs on at the PGA show this week. I can't wait to hear your thoughts.
I've touched it.
You've touched the... Could you feel the Jailbreak distance?
I'm not ready to talk about it.
Head? Oh, well, no. It's been announced. It's official. Okay. Anyway, longer and stronger Jailbreak bars allow Rogue to redistribute weight around its head, creating Callaway's fastest and most forgiving Jailbreak effect ever. And it also happened to be in the bag of Sergio Garcia, who blitzed the field by 5 shots last week in ball striking display at the Singapore Open that they will talk about for centuries to come. For a new level of distance and forgiveness, you have to go to the Rogue, available February 9th. God, that's soon. I didn't realize that. Anyway, get the details at CallawayGolf.com. You can do a fitting. You can have all sorts of fun. Can you personalize this one yet? I guess we'll find out soon enough. Hey, House, let's go to the Shaq House.
Yeah, Shaq, let's get into the Shaq House.
House, greetings from Torrey Pines in the beautiful Media Center. How is beautiful? Beautiful, gorgeous, wonderful Orlando, where you are for the PGA show.
Yeah, the PGA merchandise show. Shaq, it's awesome down here because there's no snow on the ground, which is the case, or it was the case when I left my home in Washington, D.C. And I'm surrounded by beautiful equipment. There's beautiful equipment from beautiful equipment makers, and it's a wonderful time to start thinking about all things golf, because he's back.
I watched him yesterday. I walked the fairways with him. It's exciting.
So
do you know people who are not excited about his return? Because I actually got my ear bent by somebody today.
What?
And I said, how could you not be excited about one of the two greatest players in the history of the game to possibly be making a comeback? I know we've been burned. I know last year we went through this, but it does feel different. And like, what do you lose by this happening? What is this? And the person said, you know, it detracts from some younger players and this and that. I went, oh, give me a break.
It's not.
I didn't get it.
I don't understand the argument. I'll have to, you know, let somebody make it to me. have exactly the opposite reaction, because the whole golfing world and much of the sporting community is going to tune in with great interest to see if what we observed in December, which was four pain-free, highly skilled rounds, one of which was very concerning to me because I put a very sizable wager on Tiger's opponent the very first day, and I damn near lost. That I thought that was a very good. Oh, I did. You know what I concluded right then and there? I'm not betting against Tiger this year. So don't ask me to do it. Don't try to get me to do it. I won't do it. But the idea that his arrival upon the scene, his triumphant return, is going to have anything other than an enormously positive impact on the entire sport and industry, it's a little short-sighted. It's a little cranky, a little get off my lawn. I mean, I don't know what the argument is.
Well, so here's the case I make to the people who are kind of like, oh, we're going to go through this again. And I think we may have discussed this last year. It's been so long, and I, you know, these off-seasons, House, are very hard on my memory. But my point, and I've written this a couple times for Golf Week, is that at every great moment in the history of the game, from the 1868 Open at Prestwick, which I know you think about that one a lot, when young Tom took down Willie Park Jr. and his dad. But from that point on, there at key points in the history of the game, the 1913 U.S. Open at the Country Club, when we met, took down Vardon and Ray, young guys have been confronted by an old cagey veteran. And there have been these clashes of the generations that no other sport can provide in terms of age differences and experience differences. And we've completely hyped the crap out of the young guys, which is fine. They're exciting. They're fresh. They're new. But
they deserve the hype.
But wouldn't it be fun to have a cagey old veteran who's a legend going for the all-time PGA Tour win record, which is an unbelievable record that nobody thought would ever be broken by the Sam Snead record. Or, you know, if he picks off a major or two, suddenly Jack's thing becomes in play again. Isn't that exciting? And isn't that like the convergence of the guys at Cherry Hills in 1960, Palmer, Hogan, and Nicklaus all on the same leaderboard? I mean, I think that's really, to me, an exciting prospect. So
I appreciate your instincts as a writer, as a journalist, as a golf historian, to think about context-wise, you know, how to place the rearrival of the big cat on the scene and to contextualize it. I don't mean to diminish or demean that in any way, shape, or form, except for I could care less about any of that context stuff. What I want to see is him out there competing with his version of superpowers, right? His the combination of power and finesse that he showed just, what is it now, 6 weeks ago?
December.
In December.
Yeah.
We were reminded of that stunning combination of skills that he possesses. Some of the touch shots where we were really concerned because of what we've seen in previous iterations of Tiger trying to regain form in the game, where we saw yips and chunks and dips and skullaroonies. Now, just 6 weeks ago, we saw real touch. And from a variety of distances, we saw 60-yard touch. We saw 90-yard touch. We saw around the green touch. We saw, getting the ball to check to within a foot. And I think, you know, we had at least one sand shot go in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's,
he looked
that's
great.
The compliment.
I mean, Brandel was a little hard on the short game, but I thought, you know, how long he'd been away, I thought it was great. And that golf course gives everybody fits with the short game. So I don't think it's a very good place to judge. But I think you're missing part of my point, which is, okay, yes, it may sound like a historical thing, and I'm very excited, you know, that we have that moment in history. But my point is, think about this. Okay, here's somebody who's bonded with the young guys at the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup. But what if he all of a sudden gets out there on the first tee on Sunday of a major and he ices out Justin Thomas and he goes all Hogan on him and he is the old Tiger? That's my point, is that here's somebody from a certain generation who played the game a certain way, who then set it up for all these other guys to kind of take the lead and play golf in his image or in his style. And then now they're going to be confronted with him. I just think that's fascinating, and I can't name any other sport that can have these differences in age. I mean, even when Jimmy Connors made those incredible runs at the U.S. Open, which, of course, by the way, were scintillating because he played the game a different way with a stupid little tiny racket, and he was running everything down, and it was incredible to watch. I think this has the same potential just because Tiger is a once-in-a-lifetime player, and it's going to be fun to see how he attacks golf courses. I mean, I think that was the biggest revelation of the Hero World Challenge, was that he is going to be a power player. He's not backing down. He's not going to just bunt stingers around the golf course. He's going to come out swinging, and that blew my mind more than anything at that event. But
well, I agree. It was that's what I was referring to moments ago, which is that combination of power plus the short game. I mean, the two iron that he hit, I don't remember which day, and that barely missed, that he knew he hit pure, was a real revelation, because holy cow, like that is a professional grade, you know, power golf shot on it was, you know, the par five on the back, I think it was. But in any event, you and I are coming from the same place. Obviously, I'd be very excited to see him in a major in that context, you know, paired up with a young guy. All I'm saying is that as we sit here in the moment, I'm just excited to see him in a field competing, you know, with these guys. And we already observed, you know, I made a note here about the bet I almost lost. I bet on Justin Thomas in the first round of the Hero Challenge in a straight old-fashioned matchup bet, Tiger against JT, and I damn near lost it. Now, JT did come back on the back side, and he had a chance to win. He had a six-footer, I think, for birdie, or 6 to 8 footer that lipped out, that would have produced a very nice victory. But I just was stunned at how polished the Tiger was in that Thursday round. Yeah. And if that's the form that we're going to see, then he's, you know, all kinds of things that we're going to talk about over the course of today's show in terms of our expectations for his performance in this event. We're off and running, Daddy.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about what I saw yesterday in the practice round, and then what he talked about in the practice round. But before we do that, we have other things to discuss. He isn't the entire game of golf, right, House? Right? I mean, you didn't bet against him.
Well,
we are going to try. So this year, we are going to try to get him on the Shack House. I don't know if we have any chance. If he finds out you're betting against him, that's not going to help our cause. So
did you hear me? I'm not doing that. I'm only betting on him.
I heard you, but I'm just reminding you, and
that
so
was
all
it.
The listeners know.
That was the one time.
As I try to lay the groundwork with Glenn Greenspan and Mark Steinberg to get him on the show, and they're wonderful, wonderful people, and they will do their best to get him on the show, because he did coach Gino's pod. I think that's happened since we last talked, and that was a wacky, wild conversation. I mean, Coach Gino, has that happened since we...
Yeah, that happened after we went down. That's right.
There you go. See, that's. I'm sure there are people sitting listening right now going, yeah, you guys did that show. Anyway, so here's what we have planned for this year on the Shack House. We're going to go through the end of the season, which to us is the Ryder Cup. and that's ignoring, yes, the end of the wraparound, whatever that is, at the end of the PGA Tour season. And folks, our plan is to have a few more episodes this year, a few more mini pods, pop-up pods, whatever you want to call them, little shorter shows during the majors, right, House?
For sure.
Where we kind of chime in multiple times during the major championship weeks and, of course, the Ryder Cup at the end of the year. And we're going to try to get some big time guests.
Big time, medium time, small time. We're going to get them all. We're going to do media guys. We're going to do entertainment guys. We're going to do guys and gals. I'm using guys, you know, generically.
Yes.
We're definitely going to have women guests this year. And it's the full experience with the Shack House in terms of who we'll have on and the things that we're going to take care of.
So, House, what are you most excited about for 2018? Because I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sure what 2017 was going to bring us. I judge a year based on the major championship venues, and I knew with Quail Hollow and Erin Hills, we had the potential for some real stinkers, and it turns out we didn't. We had a really, really strong year. I think 2017 is going to, when you look back in a few years, will age well as a great, great year in golf between those things and the President's Cup, even though it was a rat, was kind of it was a good event. I mean, it was just there were a lot of solid tour events and great finishes, and it ended up being a year that I think will be talked about for a long time. But this year, venue-wise, and then you throw in the Ryder Cup in France, has the makings to be a sensational year. And then you couple that with right now with this group of young guys playing well. You've got these seasoned veterans like a Rose or a Sergio Garcia in prime form. And then you have Tiger. To me, it just has the makings of an incredible year. But what part of the year are you most excited about?
The guys. So you kind of just alluded to it. What I'm fired up for, and what is definitely different about the beginning of 2018 compared to 2017, is that there are no question marks about the health or the mental sort of presence of, say, 8 to 10 top players in the world. It is a bummer that Koepka had to go out because, you know, he was right on the brink of cracking this top 8 to 10 of crazy, you know, stud level guys. I mean, his U.S. Open performance was extraordinary. He went off a little bit during the course of the playoffs. He was not up to that form. And then what he did, you know, at the Hero and then in Hawaii, I wonder when the injury that he suffered, this torn tendon, I wonder if, looking back, the sort of onset of that occurred during the playoffs and then, you know, went kind of in absolutely the wrong direction in December, January. But, you know, so get well soon, Brooks Koepka. But on the other hand, look at what we have, Shaq. We have a healthy Rory whose game is on point.
Well, House, he has a flat T wave, and he has to get a cardiogram every 6 months, which he let us know, and that sent the British press into a tizzy. They've recovered now. They need T wave. They have T wave issues, but he's fine. So yes,
he's fine.
He got off to a great start.
John Rahm is obviously top of the world form. Tommy Fleetwood, top of the world form. Jason Day looks like he's healthy and ready to compete
has
his brain in the right place.
He played yesterday with Tiger in the practice round, and the holes I went with them, he looked sensational. Absolutely bombing the ball out there. And and while we're at it, Bryson DeChambeau, the third member of that group, was also looking quite outstanding. And by the way, the longest hitter in the group, the man has added some serious weight in the form of muscle. And I talked to him a little bit after, and he says he's just trying to prevent injury. He's not trying to get longer. But it was a kind of an eye-opener there when he hit it past Tiger and Jason Day.
All right, well, that's a guy to keep an eye on. But
definitely,
he's not, you know, I'm into Spieth. I'm into Thomas.
You're a
Day.
Star bleeper. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you're right about that because the stars carry the game. I mean, we've been on this show now for 9 or 10 or 12 minutes, and we haven't even said Dustin Johnson's name once.
Yeah, there is.
And he put on a dominant performance with the longest stick. The longest stick in Hawaii, Shaq. I mean,
okay,
that was an extraordinary driver performance by DJ. So if all these guys are all arriving on the scene at the height of their powers, this is what I'm after. And it makes for, you know, I think about the world in the golf world in a handful of ways. Obviously, one of the ways I think about it that's very fun for me is how to allocate some capital. And with all of these horses, look, I'll put it in a way that I know will resonate with you. You know, this is a thoroughbred year. So,
yeah, you may get some good prices on some real studs.
Now you're talking. Like, I don't think for a second that I didn't check out Tommy Fleetwood's Masters numbers Sunday night.
And what did you find?
I found something that I liked. I mean, I don't know if they stayed put, but Tommy Fleetwood, a guy that I'm very interested in right now. It's January. You know, why don't we go ahead and I'm going to make a small down payment on something right now at the odds that I like. And the same thing might be true. I'm looking for some dark horses, but right now it's all thoroughbreds. There's nobody coming from the back. These are all front runners.
Oh, it's Golf House. There's always going to be somebody coming from behind down the stretch, and I think that's the fun is that we have so many people that you'll get excited about when they come, you know, flying out of the pack to win if they keep this going, and I think they will. All signs point to it, so it's exciting. But House, I think I'm totally with you about all these exciting young talents and old guys and all that, but. Remember, we're going to mix in some sensational venues this year. And you know how I feel. That third party, that other protagonist in this drama is so vital to the way the whole thing works. And we have Shinnecock Hills for the U.S. Open and Carnoustie for the Open Championship this year. The two places where some of the wackiest, craziest, meanest things have happened in the history of tournament golf. So that is something to keep in mind. Those courses have been known to be cruel to legends, and they've also been very good to them. So I love that we have those ingredients mixed in. The PGA Championship, unfortunately, is going to Bellerive, and I'm not excited about that one. It's going to be hot, and it's not quite the golf course that will inject that life like the other ones will. But we have some sensational venues, too, along the way. Just all sorts of cool places that should spice things up. Gullen for the Scottish Open. And House, we got to give a special nod to the U.S. Senior Women's Open going to the Chicago Golf Club. This is this place nobody has ever seen in our world. And to open up the doors for a tournament will be kind of cool. I know you've already set the DVR for that one.
Well, I mean, I am excited to see. This is the experience I had, you know, all kidding aside, of watching the Walker Cup at the National, right? Seeing the National on television was absolutely stunning. Yeah. And, you know, it made me go to my Rolodex. Who do I know? Who can I put a call into? I still haven't got out on the National, but we got to. I mean, that's a lifetime achievement right there. Help me understand, what is the Senior Women's Open? I don't mean that.
It's a new event. The USGA has introduced this, and it's open to women 50 and older, and it's the equivalent of the U.S. Senior Open men's event. I'm not wild about the age minimum being 50. I think that's a mistake, since women generally in golf are younger. They debut at a younger age, and they peak at a younger age, and I think it should have been 45. But anyhow, it will be kind of the legends of women's golf playing at this unbelievable old C.B. McDonald, Seth Rainer golf course in Chicago. That's a very private club and one of the most important courses in the history of the United States, kind of in shaping the game. So it's not quite
cool.
The old course. It's not quite the National in terms of like its place as a birthplace, but it's almost an equivalent. So that'll be great. And they're just all, and then so now and I got to be honest with you, the Ryder Cup has not been one I've been as excited about until last weekend. And I mean, this is ridiculous. It's January, but come on, it's hard not to get a little more excited about Team Europe when Rahm, Garcia, and Fleetwood all come out the way they did, and suddenly that team, you know, is just getting a little bit juicier. I think that the cockiness about Team USA after the President's Cup maybe was getting a little out of hand, and this might kind of reel things back in.
I think that's a theme all season long. You've seen a lot of prognosticators already tabbing the Euros for a comeback this year and for taking the cup back.
How quickly things change.
Well, and you know, this was before, to the credit of some of our colleagues in the practice, before Rahm Fleetwood and Sergio did their thing. But I, you know, look, the form that we saw already from Thomas Peters, the form that we saw already from Matthew Fitzpatrick, who gave a great interview, that no laying up, he was very candid. He did not enjoy his Ryder Cup experience, his virginal Ryder Cup experience.
Well, it is a great listen. My takeaway was that he didn't enjoy the experience, not because of anything the captain did or his team did. It was just the being, you know, losing and a hostile environment and kind of the Willett scandal erupted.
Yeah,
got things off on a bad foot. But yeah, I mean, he was, and he's somebody who is, I've watched him in the Walker Cup. He's an incredible team player if you can get him on a team, because he just hits every fairway all day and it just drives you nuts as an opponent. But yeah, that is a great listen. Nice job by the no laying up guys to get him to be so brutally honest. But another fascinating sort of a protagonist in the chase to make that team and to get some retribution for the loss at Hazeltine.
For sure.
So House, I'm in beautiful Torrey Pines. You're in beautiful Orlando. I think we need to hear about what's going on out on the floor at the PGA show. So we're going to send you out there. I am going to give you some of my thoughts on Tiger Woods' press conference today, and we're going to keep the show going. But don't you think we need to hear about how this year is the year of the fairway wood? Don't you think it's going to be the year of the fairway wood?
I already know it's the year of the fairway wood, Shaq, because I was waffling about whether or not to confess what I did with the rogue driver. I'm not going to waffle. The fairway wood.
Wait. First of all, well, let's be clear. You have a rogue driver?
I don't have anything.
Oh,
I do not.
Okay.
I don't possess any of it. But I did hit it. I've hit it. I've struck it. It is a mighty weapon. And the ball stayed in the air for what felt like an hour. The carry was incredible.
I think that could be the legendary hyperspeed face cup, which makes the rogue the most powerful fairway wood Callaway's ever created, don't you?
I don't know what the technology is, and no disrespect to all the science that went into it. It's just a bad mother effort. I mean, that's my read.
Sergio Garcia won with it last week. He had the rogue fairway wood in the bag for his win in Singapore. Phil Mickelson went rogue down in the desert. So, you know, rogue is it, baby, and get the scoop. It's all on CallawayGolf.com. All about the new rogue fairway woods, the new and I have one on order. I'm very excited to get a little jailbreak into my fairway wood life. They'll be in stores February 9th, so they're the number one fairways in golf, so go check them out at CallawayGolf.com. All right, House, so you've ventured down to the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando, Florida. For those who don't know, this is your classic convention at a classic convention center to look at merchandise and look at clothes and look at all that good stuff. So, House, this is your first time. What do you make of the whole gathering, which I'm only getting to see on Morning Drive or living vicariously through your very slick Instagram story productions?
Yeah, Daddy. Can you see? I'm gramming. How do the kids say it?
Oh, you are gramming.
I'm gramming. Yeah. I'm gramming like a millennial, brother.
Those are some amazing stories. Yeah, I've seen pictures with you with Roger Cleveland and Brandel Chamblee. I think you were. No, that wasn't you.
That wasn't me.
You've been.
Brandel wouldn't get anywhere
with the
near
Callaway
me,
guys.
No, he wouldn't let me touch him. I assure you. First of all, shout out to Lexi Eater at Callaway. She's really the mastermind behind the Instagram. That's the reason any of that looks halfway decent. But I will tell you, Shaq, I've been surprised by many things. I was led to believe certain things about this. I had some preconceived notions on how this scene was going to go down. I've been surprised in at least four ways, Shaq. Surprise number one. I've been here 6 hours today. I've seen two white belts, Shaq. Only two. I thought we were going to see.
It's because the quarter zips are covering them.
Shaq, surprise number two. The quarter zips are nowhere to be seen.
They peaked in 2017.
As I'm talking right now, by the way, there's a white belt right in front of me. The number just jumped up to three. I can't believe it. But the quarter zips,
they're
I'm
drawn
telling
to
you. I'm in a quarter zip. because it's comfortable. That's not surprising. Surprise number three, people dress up for this thing. At least, like, you know, 30%, 40% of the gentlemen are in sports jackets and slacks and loafers. I mean, it's a well-dressed crowd here, well-heeled crowd. Surprise number four, Shaq, huge representation by the fair sex. Tons of women. So I was prepared coming to this thing to see a bunch of middle-aged, plump-bellied, zipper sweater, white belt wearing MFers. Dude, it's not that. It's a handsome crowd. It's a thoughtful crowd. If you take any kind of direction or guidance from, if you want to reach a conclusion about how they're dressed, these are serious folks trying to do some business down here, Shaq. And I think that's today and tomorrow are really for business purposes. Is that right?
Yeah. This is, well, you know, it's interesting. It's kind of changed over the years. It used to be like the place people would go and salesmen would take orders from golf pros, and it's shifted to more of a place to kind of have relationship building and to launch things and promote things and create buzz. And I mean, that's my sense from afar. I'm assuming that's kind of what you're getting and picking up from people. And
I think that's right.
There's the dreaded what's the mood like conversation.
I'll just tell you, it's a lot more diverse than I was prepared for. And I think that's a damn good thing. You know, I was prepared for a lot of homogeneity.
Yeah.
And that's not what I'm getting.
You thought you were going to a morticians conference. Yeah.
Something like that. The other thing that I'll say, it's like you don't, as a consumer of the game, as a lover of the game, you don't think about like all the stuff that goes into it. There are tee marker vendors here. There are underwear vendors here. There are, you know, hat vendors here. There are belts. A lot of the very stylish knit belt folks here. The tech is through the roof. Like, it's way beyond my comprehension. I couldn't possibly do it justice, all of the tech opportunities here. But that all by itself, you could spend the whole day venturing around and hearing like the innovations that various people with various, you know, the simulator stuff is very cool. All the metrics, the way to capture your swing and you know, the tendencies and all of that.
Yeah, so I've noticed in the morning drive coverage, it sounds like a few companies are starting to really get into stuff that's built into your putter or your equipment, and then it sends the data to your phone and all that kind of stuff. Is that kind of what you're seeing? That's a little bit of a trend down there?
For sure. Tons of variety of that kind of thing. Plus one thing, you know, my ABH rule, always be handsome, Shaq. I will tell you, the apparel section, I could lose myself in it. I'm a little bit of a clothes hound. Not like you. Mm-hmm. I'm not nearly like, you know, as handsome as you. Yeah, I know you rock your that TV look. You're always coming off well groomed, but I could definitely get in there and spend a little bit of time with a very sophisticated offering with a lot of, like, you know, slim cuts. I'm into the slim cut vibe right now.
Really? Wow.
Well,
that doesn't,
I mean,
really,
you know,
do a lot for your house of carbs image.
It does seem incongruous, but you know, I have to keep it lean so I can blow it up.
Well, and better fit clothes has just been, that's a derivative of the tour guys starting to, you know, I mean, geez, you watch a highlight reel from like 8 years ago. The Bryan brothers put up a photo of them playing Augusta 10 years ago, and they look like another century, you know, the pleated pants and everything's puffy and the shirts are, you know, down to the elbows. And it's just amazing how that's kind of changed. And I think we hit a point a few years ago where it was getting a little too snug, and now they've kind of found a nice place where everybody makes stuff that fits you nicely, but it, you know, it's not.
I can verify and validate. Type. That is exactly what I'm seeing.
Okay.
You got it. I'll verify and validate that point. I also love the color palette. There's some great colors. I think this year in golf, if you're not looking the part, you don't have anybody to blame but yourself.
Okay. Now, more importantly, are you picking up a lot of swag? That's kind of, I think, what we all want to know. Is there going to be another suitcase for the trip home?
I'm working on it. That's really for tomorrow. Yeah. I've done so far is kind of pick my spots in terms of the places I'm going to go and put the hard sell on. I went over and saw the Seamus people, of course. I saw our friends at Cricket. We're going to go stick my head into Travis Matthew. I want to talk to the Sugarloaf Social Club guys a little bit, see if I can't get a visor out of them. you know, some of the independent,
I think you can do that.
Independent guys that I like.
Now you're set up for this pod at the Callaway booth. Now, are you? Do you give us a sense of what it's like? Do you see like tailor-made guys walking by and giving dirty looks? You know, have there been any major brouhahas breaking out between the warring manufacturers, or is it all kind of civil down there?
This is golf, so everybody's gonna. All the cheating happens behind the scenes, right? Out of sight.
Okay.
You know, when you improve your lie, it's got to be out of sight. Maybe by design, the equipment manufacturers are nowhere near each other. You know, Titleist and TaylorMade are kind of near each other, but Callaway has
kind of
this enormous expanse.
Thing,
it's not really appropriate to call it a booth. What it really is, it's like 65 to 70 yards long by about 25 to 30 yards wide. It's an enormous piece of real estate, and it's there are a whole series of experiences. I'm sitting on a stage proximate to the putting green. Right now, I see 9 people putting. There are probably 80 putters available of various sizes, dimensions, lengths, style, and design. 20 yards away is a couple top golf simulator experiences that you can do if you want to get your full swing on. There's a huge apparel section. There's a shoe section. There's a soft goods section. So if you wanted, you could come easily spend an hour just at Callaway and not exhaust everything that there is to see here.
Now, House, one of the things that's been talked about for years is that it's a trade show, so it's not for the public. It's it's restricted to PGA pros and friends and family of the golf industry. But is your sense that if they open that last day up, say, to the public, that a golf fanatic would just lose their mind in there? Would they have fun, or would they just feel like they're at a trade show?
So I was under the impression, I asked this question, when is this open to the public? Somebody told me it is open to the public on Friday. Maybe I had that information wrong. But in any event, I think that I'm pretty much a golf fanatic, and I will tell you, I'm losing my mind. I love it. I think it's incredible. I don't think that it's an industry kind of vibe at all. I think it's the 2.5 days that I'm here are really not enough. Because, like I say, I could spend, you know, 2/3 of a day just on the apparel section. You know, the underwear offerings alone, Shaq. Various fabrics.
Geez.
Various lengths. I mean, you know, you can cover the bases.
I thought we had you locked in on the
45 minutes.
MeUndies, or is that 2017?
We're not specific. We don't get specific with any brand anymore,
okay.
Shaq. There are a lot of
brand specific
purveyors out there these days. You never know.
And so I hate this question, but I have to ask it. What is the mood of the show? What is everybody saying? You know, do they have one eye on what Tiger does and how that impacts the industry? I mean, yeah, the last few years, House, let's be honest, the word out of the show is that people feel like things were flat and this, and I don't know if gauging the industry, the health of the game by a trade show is really very logical, but it's a natural reaction, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I don't have anything to compare this to, but the vibe in here to me is live. It's kind of hot in here. Now, again, this is my first time, and so much of my experience here has been surprise, right? I had certain expectations, and none of those expectations are holding true to form. What I'm observing are people that are psyched to come see what the manufacturers have offering. There's big crowds around the apparel things. There's big crowds at various ball purveyors. And it seems like, you know, lots of engagement. But I'm going to repeat the observation I made about the diversity. I've been very impressed by the diversity of the crowd. And I think that adds to kind of the sense that you know, there's like an all-comers kind of feel here, even though I know it's not for the public. So I'm sure there's enthusiasm for Tiger, but nobody's talking at all about the tour, at least within my earshot. The tour is not relevant to this.
Good. Yeah, no, it gets too much attention, I think, in the discussion of the business of the game anyway, but it's a natural thing to gravitate towards what pros are doing and all that. So that's good to hear and certainly encouraging.
So having said all of that, let's talk about the tour. You're at Torrey Pines, dude. You're sending pictures of Tiger freaking Woods. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, it's It's a beautiful day here at Torrey. The courses are just ridiculously good. I've never seen them like this. I mean, the rough is a little too healthy for my taste, but a little overfed with the ryegrass. But it is absolutely beautiful here. The greens are very firm on both courses. What was the word Tiger used? I think springy, I believe, was the word.
Springy.
But, it's a good vibe here. Everybody's just kind of anxious to see what happens tomorrow at 10:40 on the first tee. We're recording this, by the way, on Wednesday, so apologies to those of you listening and who are aware of maybe Tiger already having started around if you're listening to this. But he came in. He played his pro-am round at 6:40. I watched the first two holes from bed in Solana Beach and then moseyed on down here.
Sure.
He loves that early time. I have no idea why. And he looked good. You know, what I loved about this round was he wasn't grinding. And so there were some loose shots, and it was only mostly because he was just out there. Actually seemed to enjoy the people he was playing with, talking with them, giving some thoughts on the course and maybe a little bit of help with their game. But
today's the pro-am. So he was the only pro with this group, right?
Yeah. And it's 18-hole round. It was great. It wasn't like he was out there going, okay, I got to work on this to be ready. And so he came in and talked to us. And the gist of it is, you may want to take this into consideration, but he mentioned April. He mentioned Augusta. He mentioned the Masters. And so
I'm sure he did.
But the beautiful – well, but in the past, he'll come in and go, every week I play, I'm going for the W kind of thing. And I think now, after he's been through all this stuff, that he realizes that that's an unrealistic thing. He was very honest that he's been away basically since the Wyndham in 2015, and he's pain-free, and he's going to just need to, you know, the feels word was flying today. I got to check my bingo tally. I know we got it early and we got it hard, and he's got some rusty shots in him. He's got some rusty putts in him, but he also, I watched him, you know, practice putting was beautiful. So he seems like somebody who is thinking about the long term, which I've always been looking for that answer from him in some of these past comebacks, and it hasn't been there. It's always been that, yeah, I'm when I show up, I'm playing to win. And now it's more about gearing up to Augusta and being able to play a normal schedule and all that good stuff. So he seems like he's got, I think, a better approach and mindset, and that's encouraging. But let's be honest, last year was you draw a line through it, forget about it. He shot 76, 72. He didn't have much of a game. I mean, he said he played 6 days a week coming into this, some 36 whole days. Last year he was basically on a doctor's watch of holes he could play and amount of balls he could hit. And so he just seems very relaxed, and he looks young and fresh-faced again. You know, part of it's getting rid of the goatee,
right,
but part of it is he just looks good.
The odds have dramatically shifted since Monday in terms of, you know, the enthusiasm, the Tiger enthusiasm. So we're not going to touch whether or not I'll make the cut, because the odds went, you know, from favorable for him making the cut to now you have to pay 2-1. If you want to gamble on him making the cut. So that's absurd, right? That kind of enthusiasm is through the roof. So here are the two wagers I'm interested in. I'm not touching the fairway one, right? Because I don't want to root against Tiger. I think we've made it clear that that's a bad idea. The two, here's what I'm interested in. Lowest round shot and highest round shot. So lowest round is 69 and a half. Does he have a 69 in him this week? And then, you know, in the first place, you have to have a point of view on whether or not he's going to make the cut to really, you know, tell yourself as to whether or not you like these odds. If the over, if you're going to gamble on him not shooting 69, it's minus 110, so nearly even. And if you want to gamble on him going under 69 and a half, which means you think he's going to shoot 69 or better, it's a slight, you have to pay slightly. It's a minus 120.
Right. Well, that's a tricky one because the rough is just really incredible. And the speed of the greens, the firmness, the cold in the morning, we haven't had rain in a while. I mean, these golf courses are playing tough. And the north, I think he can shoot 69 on the north.
Okay.
I really do.
All right.
So I think that's where it's more likely to happen. But, you know,
good.
He knows the south so much better. I mean, we're watching him putt the greens on the north. There's just still a lack of familiarity with a lot of those surfaces over there. They've redone every green complex. So he played it twice last year.
Let's be specific. What days does he play the north?
He plays the north on Friday. It's going to be a little cooler the next 2 days. It's absolutely beautiful here today. It's you know,
yeah, that was my next question.
Perfect.
Let's do the weather. What's the wind? What's the forecast for the wind?
We are going to have a little more breeze the next 2 days. We have a little front moving through up north, apparently.
Okay.
I talked
all
to
right.
Stuart, the weatherman here. So we're going to get – there is a chance of a little fog tomorrow morning, but Thursday morning when we're recording this on Wednesday. So they're hopefully not a severe fog situation because it can get a little dicey here. And then, we're going to have nice weather on the weekend. It's going to warm up. It's going to be beautiful and great for scoring and all that good stuff. So if he gets
so
to the
little
weekend,
bit,
I think
a little bit cool and a little bit breezy on Friday on the North Course. Because if you're going to place this and you're concerned about him making the cut, you really need him to go low with the 69 on Friday.
Probably, yeah. And,
okay.
But I don't think that's unreasonable to assume that he can pull that off.
All right. What about highest round shot? 74.5. To go under 74.5, it's an even bet.
Yeah, he shot 76 last year. Just listening to him talk today about how pain-free he is, and he's said it a million times, but he really does mean it. It's just changed his life and his outlook, and I think then downplaying some expectations will help that. I also just think that playing with John Rahm and Patrick Reed will be really, really fun to watch because I think there will be he'll take it up a notch when he sees Patrick Reed out there trying to grind and beat him. And Rahm, of course, is just when he's not having the temper issues, is just such a gentleman and class act. I mean, it's such a fascinating study in different personalities. I mean, he was so great in his press conference yesterday. And talking about Tiger and having such a great big picture view of what it would mean for golf and how much he would love to be in a showdown with him and even if he lost that it would still be great. So I think playing with him will be really fun for Tiger as well. Yeah, he just met him yesterday for the first time.
Oh, wow. I had no idea. You would have thought that their paths crossed earlier.
Yeah, one fun quote I thought from the press conference house that you might get a kick out of was that Tiger admitted that there's so many players that he doesn't have a clue who they are when he sees them. He didn't say it quite that crudely, but he prided himself in usually being able to predict the winning score. And he said because of that and just meeting somebody like John Rahm and not knowing his game, he really wasn't sure what the scoring would be out here. But he definitely said it's playing a lot tougher than it has. And I mean, it used to be the North was such a easy pickings thing. So I think he'll take it up a notch with that pairing. And I think there will be a pleasure putting
our
Patrick
two
Reed
plays.
In his place.
I'm going to put both of these in. Our two plays under 69.5 for the low round and under 74.5 for the high round. Is that what we're doing?
I feel better about the latter. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, so we can allocate maybe two units on that one, and maybe one unit on the low round. That's what we'll tell. That's how you might allocate your capital, pals. So speaking of allocating capital, Tiger, we have modest expectations for. We want him healthy. We want him to make the cut. Let's talk about guys that we think might win this golf tournament, Shaq.
John Rahm's going to win. Sorry. I know it's not very helpful price-wise. He's not somebody you really would look to. I don't know what he is. I haven't looked, but I'm sure he's about 5 or 6 to 1. But he's playing beautifully.
I'm not looking at the odds. And I this is mainly for like our friends in the fantasy community who have to submit lineups or people in their one-and-done world.
Yeah.
I mean,
look
and see here.
If you're looking for some value, and you know, if you're in one of those types of leagues like I am, I love, by the way, a little intel on Jason Day. He withdrew from the Pro-Am today, sore back, so.
Not touching Jason Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm rooting for him to be healthy, but I'm not touching him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he looked good when he was playing with Tiger the other day, but I'm not going to advocate him this year. Obviously, Mark Leishman is somebody I really like at this golf course, and like the way his game looks and is a solid pick. I got to tell you, DeChambeau, who had a horrible week here last year, looks like he is primed and ready. And remember last year, he went to the PGA Show to launch clubs and then flew in here on was it Tuesday night or Wednesday? Anyway, he had a terrible preparation for this. It was, and he has fixed that situation, and he's here practicing, grinding. His disposition seems excellent. And,
okay, DeChambeau, I want to show me. I'm going to show me point of view with DeChambeau. He's got to do something for me. I need
I
to see him
that.
Show a little form after last season. I have four names for you, and you give me a reaction.
Okay.
Tony Finau.
Yeah, excellent choice.
Oh, how about that? I like right out of the box, I get an excellent choice rating. The reason that, I mean, obviously he's got all the length and he performed very well at this golf tournament and on these courses. The POA, I think, is kind of his obvious glaring weakness is the putter. But I think the POA, isn't that a little bit of an equalizer? I'm talking about the grass on the greens.
They're cut so tight, and
okay.
This time of year it's so cold. There's so little grass growing that March is when you start to get into that where they get in the heads of players, the little seed heads and all that. They're so good right now. The conditioning here, House, is just beyond comprehension how good it is, how perfect the fairways are. So, and the greens are, I mean, if you watch the ball, they're just staying down on the ground. So they're going to be good for a good putter this.
All right,
this
I gave you Finau. Johnny Vegas. Any thoughts on Johnny Vegas?
Okay. Just playing great right now.
Playing great.
An elite player in my
course
view.
Course for the course. A guy who is making his debut, which I normally wouldn't like, but I just like his profile, and he was in good form on the European Tour. Shane Lowry.
Okay. I wasn't feeling that one quite. I didn't think that's where you were going to go with that.
Because he's in a debut mode. Who did you think I was going to go with?
I thought you were going to pull an Ollie Snyder-Jans on us. The last time I looked, he was 45-1. Remember, he top 10 in the debut here last year.
Right, yep.
And he likes, even though he's not from this part of the country, he likes West Coast golf. He has said that it's he just feels good here. And I love somebody who can debut here that way. And I think he's a much better player than he was a year ago from everything I've seen statistically. And he's in the 45-1 range the last time I looked, but I'm a little bit.
No, you're right. I'm looking at it right now. He's 45-1. My last name at a 50-1 clip is Xander Schauffele.
Well, he has been very blunt that his first crack at the Farmers Insurance Open was not stellar, and he's coming home. He now has a nice condo in downtown, and will be sleeping in his own bed.
This is what we like. This is the kind of insider information the good people can expect from the Shack House.
He's got his good pillow. He's got his Toyota Camry. You know,
that's
you gotta love that he
the
has an upgraded
pillow.
The car. The man he's humble, and he's easing the Callaway clubs into the bag. Wonderful. Our sponsors of the show don't force players to turn their bag over and put everything in right out of the chute, although Sergio did. But Xander is slowly moving into the rogue way of life, and he has the Mac Daddies. I think, is somebody who will be trying to perform well here, hopefully not trying too hard. I'm looking up, by the way, House, just a little FYI, his Pro-Am group. Now, this could just be a statement about the sandbaggery going on with his playing partners, but he is currently in third T2 in the Pro-Am. So the Justin Rose group is also T2, I know. And Alex Noren's group playing well, which Alex Noren making his West Coast debut at the Farmers Insurance Open is intriguing.
You
well.
Mentioned the rogue stuff. I'm going to take the opportunity right now.
Oh, to plug.
Well, yeah, we're going to close out the episode. We're going to tell the good people about, you know, kind of, we talked about what we had in mind for the show this year. We're going to, you know, plug a couple things that you and I are working on, but we have to talk about the Rogue Irons. We're closing out this episode of Shack House, the debut episode 2018.
Yeah.
Debut,
so coincident
with this. And remember, this
Irons.
Is really the start of the season, right? We had the Hawaiian swing, which is always just an ease into it. Then the gimmick tournament up in La Quinta, which is fine. But this is, for all intents and purposes, the golf season starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's why
right.
the Shack House is coming out hot tonight. We're ready. We're putting down some hard picks for you. We gave you a couple wages. We want you to allocate your capital. How about another word from our good pals at Callaway, the number one irons in golf? Just introduced last week, the new Rogue irons, which embody the Rogue philosophy to break away from the pack and create maximum iron performance. Rogue irons feature 360 face cup technology because it's a winner. That 360 face cup technology, Shaq, that's a winner. The premier distance technology in golf and a new urethane microsphere layer to enhance feel without sacrificing distance. I hit a couple today, Shaq. I hit some irons today, some of the Rogue irons.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to tell the good people I'm going Rogue X. I'm a Rogue X kind of brother. I'm having a, somebody just gave me a 7-iron. It's not a Rogue X. I'm Rogue X, son. Don't bring me the wrong club. Anyway, these suckers are hot. I had a wonderful time banging balls into a screen today. And as far as you know, every shot with the 7-iron was a 185 to 190. Yeah. As far as you know.
Oh, wow. That's a major distance.
Well, X is for distance. Anyway, glad to be back with our good friends from Callaway. What are we working on? What do you got going right now, Shaq?
Well, House, I just filed a column on Tiger for golfweek.com. I'm filing all week for Golf Week. I'm helping the four caddy out. He's a kind of a mystery man here at Torrey Pines, so I file a few things for him. I'm going to go chase. I got some hot gossip I got to go chase after we record this show.
Do I get to hear about it? Give me a teaser. Give me a tease.
Let me tell you, here's the tease. There are going to be some very happy PGA Tour players in the coming weeks. Their lives on Wednesdays are about to change for the better, and they're going to be happy campers.
And what about us? What about our lives?
Anyway,
how do we get a piece of this?
I don't know about our lives being improved, but anyway, so I'm going to go chase that. But yeah, I'm filing for them, and you can check us out there. And of course, everybody should be reading the Ringer, our friends here, who are bringing us the what's it called again? House?
Tim Riggins Day, Friday Night Lights. There is a big sentiment for the Friday Night Lights rewatchable, and so today's Tim Riggins Day on the Ringer. So I think all week long those columns will be up. And House of Carbs went live today. A great interview that I did with Phil Rosenthal, the creator of Everybody Loves Raymond. The very best line of the podcast, he observed that going to a restaurant and having a great experience is like going on a vacation. It's like you go in there, it's transportive in that way. I thought that was a great observation. Next week's show, of course, Shaq, House of Carbs, we're going to tackle Super Bowl food. We got to give the hungry people something to think about, right? We got to give them lots of good ideas for the Super Bowl.
Okay. I think I've got really good news on the PGA Tour. The food thing is going to be a big, big deal this year. I just heard some stuff about New Orleans. They had Gringas Tacos on the range here yesterday for players, caddies, anybody. I think tournaments are starting to realize that golf and food are a beautiful marriage. So I'm feeling there's going to be some serious House of Carbs crossover shows coming up here.
Yeah, we're going to get some House of Carbs. Shaq House mashup, Shaq. Maybe mashed potato.
All right, House. Well, it's been a lot of fun to finally catch up, and I hope everybody enjoys this. We again will be coming to you more often, probably on Mondays, ready for you to get the show and listen to it, and some pop up pods. And we're just really excited about 2018 on the what's it called again, House?
Well, look, the rust is off, and we're ready to roll here on the Shaq House. On the Ringer Podcast Network.